The Extra Pack of Peanuts Travel Podcast, Episode 24. How do you know your country's rich? In Bern, Switzerland, there is a pedestrian crossing lined with Swarovski diamonds. Hey, E-Poppers, and welcome back to another edition of the Extra Pack of Peanuts Travel Podcast. And today we've got a great guest for you, someone who is an integral part of one of my favorite travel websites out there and probably one of the coolest travel ideas to have popped up in the last 10 years. But before we get to that, if you haven't already, make sure you go grab yourself a copy of my completely free Become a Frequent Flyer Millionaire email series. In that series, you're going to get all the best tips and tricks. I'm going to walk you step by step how you can start earning and then using frequent flyer miles so that you can start traveling basically anywhere you want to your dream destination for almost free. You can get that by going to extrapackofpeanuts.com/free, and that will start you down the path to frequent flyer riches. Like I said, it's completely free, and there is no better time to start earning and using frequent flyer miles than right now. So go grab that, extrapackofpeanuts.com/free. All right, let's dive right into this awesome episode. Hello, travel nerds, and welcome to the Extra Pack of Peanuts Travel Podcast, the show that teaches you how to travel more while spending less. I'm Trav, the creator of Extra Pack of Peanuts, and with me today is the chocolate-obsessed and travel-addicted community and social media manager at Couchsurfing, Martina Steinman, who just happens to hail from one of my favorite countries in the world. Martina, thanks so much for coming on the show, and welcome.
Hi, Travis. Hey there. I didn't know that was one of your favorite places in the world.
Yeah, I actually, Martina's from Switzerland, so we should say what it is, I guess. And I spent 5 months living in Lausanne, down in the French part of Switzerland, French-speaking part.
So you're fluent in French.
Not at all. I worked with an English company, luckily.
Okay, sweet. So, well, yeah. Hello.
Martina, thanks again for coming on the show. As an avid fan of Couchsurfing myself, we just talked about this before the show. I joined in 2007, so did you. So I'm excited to have you on the show and kind of help spread the word of, you know, this wonderful website that people have created. For those who don't know, could you kind of explain what Couchsurfing is?
So Couchsurfing is basically a website. It's a hospitality exchange network that is global, where people offer their couches to other people that they don't know yet. So basically, you host strangers on your couch, people stay overnight for free, and in exchange, if you want, you can serve other people's couches around the globe. And basically, there's absolutely no money involved. You just serve somebody's couch, and then they, if you're lucky, they might show you around, they might show you their local customs. You can have food with them, you learn a lot from them, and you basically share your life for a certain amount of time while traveling.
Yeah, and we should mention, yeah, I guess it's couch surfing, so a lot of times you stay on couches, but if they have spare bedrooms, anything.
Totally fine, too. Yeah. Everything right. That's like a surface to sleep on, absolutely great.
Yeah, and also one of the cool things about couch surfing, I realized when I first joined and started doing it, there were a lot of times where someone couldn't host for whatever reason. Maybe they had a one bedroom or they didn't have room, but a lot of people actually then offer to show you around the city or the area, even if they can't host you, right?
Absolutely. So there's also a network of people who just hang out with you in the city. If you're around, if you're traveling through, let's say, Paris and you don't know where to go, you have no idea of the city, you could just hit up some local couch surfers or some travelers passing by and just do things with them. You can let them know what your travel plans are and then meet up and have fun. Or you go to we have some couch surfing events around the globe where you could just go to an event, meet couch surfers, and most of the time you'll find some people that you'll really like and that you get along well enough with to just, you know, have fun and explore the city together. Yeah. And learn more. So
yeah, it's really cool that you have the accommodation part, the accommodation part, but then there's also the part of kind of just meeting like-minded travelers with the meetups.
Yes, exactly.
Yeah, it's really cool. how did you first then, because we both joined in 2007, and I was telling you, yeah. I don't really remember how I heard about Couchsurfing, but as soon as I did, I was all in on it. How did you first become involved with Couchsurfing, and then how did you end up working at Couchsurfing?
It's funny that you asked that, because it is a long time ago, and I was like, well, how did I hear about it, really? Because I know I remember hearing it about it from a lot of friends. But the first time I heard about it, I was in the middle of Borneo, somewhere in the forest and on the Kinabatangan River. And I was with traveling with my best friend. We basically didn't book our hostels in advance, you know, lazy travelers. Ended up sitting on the end of on the side of the river and just like not knowing where to stay overnight when a woman walked by, and she was a local. And she asked us if we wanted to stay at her home because she did homestays, and we were like, yeah, sure. Great. Yeah. A house. Amazing. So she asked for some money for it, which was absolutely cool with us. But like the fact that she hosted us in her own place and home, along with other people, made us talk to all these other people as well. And some of them asked us if we were couch surfers, and we had never heard of it before. So we both were like, what's this? That sounds amazing. And they're like, well, basically it's what you're doing right now. You're staying at somebody who opens their home for you. And you're having a fantastic time, and you're learning 100 times as much as in a hostel. And we're like, cool, that's what we're going to do from now on.
Very cool.
That's how I heard about it and then started doing it myself.
And then what brought you, obviously you bought into the whole couchsurfing idea as well. What then brought you to working for couchsurfing?
I'd always wanted to work for something that I'm really passionate about, that is also internationally, that is, it's a global... I'm very interested in like global networks. I love languages, so that kind of tied in there a little bit too. And when I found out, I was like randomly browsing the Couchsurfing website when it just hit me that I actually really wanted to work for them. And I checked for jobs. They had a job. I was about to leave Switzerland at that point, so I basically just applied. I moved over here on a tourist visa and applied for the job until I got it.
Very cool. Yeah. So jumping right in.
Luck and good timing, and I guess it's matter of interests. I was on the right side when I had the idea.
Yeah, very, very cool. And couchsurfing itself has really taken off. It was founded in 2004, and I know the growth, you know, through 2005, 2006, and when we joined 2007 was slow but growing. But yeah. But now it's, you know, it's like hit that
7 million people roughly. So
right, 7 million members. I believe it's in every country in the world or close to it.
Yeah, we even have some couch surfers in Greenland, in Antarctica, and places where you wouldn't expect them. We do not have any on spaceships yet, as far as I know, but that will come.
So what do you think then is the reason for the amazing success of this? Because 7 million members is a huge global network. Why are people all over the globe kind of fascinated with this idea of couch surfing and then actually being active members and doing it?
Well, I think there's two things to it. So one thing that amazes me about that number is that nobody has ever really done marketing for couchsurfing. It's grown over the years just by word of mouth. But I think it's an inherent situation. Couchsurfing is, when you hear about it first, you think it's insane, but you're still kind of hooked to it. Some of us are, some are more hesitant. But once you've hosted somebody or you've stayed at somebody and you actually get what it is about, when you have that human connection with a stranger and you leave as friends, you're so overwhelmed by that happening that it's like, I cannot imagine how you cannot love it when you've done it.
Very cool. I think you hit on a very good point. It seems insane at first. And from the moment I first heard about it, I was all in, as I said. I thought it was literally one of the coolest ideas ever. But I'm sure there's a lot of people out there who are more skeptical than I am, for better or worse. So what are some of the typical responses from people when they first hear about couchsurfing? And, you know, what are their fears? What are their worries? What are the things that you get asked, I'm sure, all the time by when you say you work at couchsurfing and describe it? What do people think, and how do you assuage those fears, kind of?
So I had a lot of people that were kind of surprised when I talked about couchsurfing the first time. Like, first off, my parents were freaking scared. They're like, what are you doing? You're what? And as soon as I like described that you had a website that gave you information and you could you can find people and select people that you thought were trustworthy, there is a reference system, there's a review system of everybody has a profile, the profile has references on it, and you can go through those references, you can get a picture and an idea of other couch surfers that want to stay at your house, and you can make sure that you're comfortable with them. There's I mean, there's also a lot of common sense in selecting who you want to stay with or who you want to have at your house. But there is information. It's not like you're just picking up somebody you see and find on the street and like bring them home. But you actually have some information and you have a chance to talk to them as long as you want before you invite them to your house. And you can also decide not to do it. I mean, that's completely up to them. But yeah, safety is one of the topics that comes up with a lot of people. And most of it is fear-based. So we have tried internally at Couchsurfing to provide as much information as we can on safety. We have created like a new safety section on the website with a lot of tips and basic infos. But we try to reiterate on the fact that it is up to everybody to make their own safe choices and like be aware of and be responsible for their safety as well.
Yeah, I think that's an important point that you mentioned. If you haven't been on the Couchsurfing website, when you go on, you can, you know, you create an online profile similar to any social network and you can put pictures up and then you can become friends with people. And obviously then they can leave reviews if someone has surfed at your house or you have surfed with someone, you leave reviews for each other. And yeah, that builds, you know, someone with 50 reviews and people saying how great they are. It's probably going to be much safer than some random person who just joined yesterday.
Yeah, I mean, absolutely. Especially, I mean, I was couch surfing by myself as a woman, which is different than with like partners or multiple people or men. So I do have like an extra filter of safety that I just apply for myself because that's how I feel comfortable doing it. And I know people, I know women who don't feel comfortable surfing with men, and that's completely their choice. I prefer just looking at them individually and making sure that I'm fine with them. And I also always like let people know what I'm doing. I would have sort of my backup plans. I would have a backup hostel in case something happens because, I mean, it's traveling. Anything can happen at any time.
Right.
So,
right. Great point with that. Yeah. Let people, you know, outside of the couchsurfing world know, like your friends, family, where you're going. And obviously
totally helps. Yeah. Yeah. And your parents will appreciate it so much.
For sure, for sure. And then there's also one of the things that I thought was cool about Couchsurfing too is there's a verification system. So you can become a member, but you can't become a verified member until you do a few steps. Can you speak to that a little bit?
So you have to basically identify yourself. You have to verify your identity and your location. What we'll do is we'll send you a postcard to the location you enter into forum and send you a postcard. Once you receive the postcard, there's a code on it that you have to enter so we know that you actually live where you claim you live, which gives you a little bit of credibility. On the other hand, we also know where to find you if we have to follow up with something. That's a safety issue. But basically, that's one of the steps. And it also shows that you're invested in the community to like be a serious member.
Yeah, and I know one of the things, a lot of more experienced couch surfers, and we're talking about building your profile and all, and you know, experienced couch surfers will, you know, if they have a place, will show up first on the list or second in the list. And if you're in a big city, you know, New York, Paris, Tokyo, whatever, you get a lot of requests. I know people get, you know, 100 requests a day for people to surf at their house. What are some ways then that new members or people who are just joining can kind of build their couch surfing profile and make it appealing? Because a lot of times people will say, like, if you don't have this, this, and this, I'm not even going to consider it because I get so many people coming. So if you're a new person, how can you make it appealing so that you do get hosted or people come to stay on your couch?
That's an absolutely excellent question. So there's first of all, like when you join any kind of network, one thing that's super important for couch surfing is that you let people know who you are because it is a trust network and people will be more likely to trust you if they have a reason to do so. So if you give them information about yourself, like put up some profile pictures to give them an impression of like you and your surroundings, write a description on yourself, include information, get verified so that they know that you're like a legit person who lives there, and have them like read those safety tips, read the tips on like how to write a good couch request. It is really important that you understand that it is not a free place to stay, that it is actually about meeting a person. It's not as much about, if you want to have a free place to stay, then couch surfing is not the right thing for you. You should actually want to have an interaction with a person that is your host or your guest.
Yeah.
And let them know why you want to meet them.
Yeah. Very important point. I've brought that up to people who I've pushed towards couch surfing before as well. I've said, yeah, make sure that, you know, yes, this is a way to save money when you're traveling. Yes, we all want to travel more, but that doesn't mean that you're going to freeload. Like someone is letting you into their house And I always bring gifts or like if you got to dinner, you know, pay for someone's dinner, just things that you would kind of common sense things. But there are a lot of people out there who wouldn't do it. So I think that's an important point you make.
Another point that you could do if you're a new member and you don't really know how to get started, just go to your local event and talk to couch surfers who've been couch surfers for a long time. And maybe if you get to know some of them, ask them to leave you a reference so that you actually have a better chance getting started. But definitely fill in as much information as you can. And like, try to understand a little bit of couch surfing before you start out surfing. I guess hosting is a good way to start because like you kind of have that interaction, the real interaction right away. So yeah. You know what it is about.
Yeah, for sure. And I completely agree that going to a meeting, you know, meeting someone face to face, you can say to them, hey, you know, will you become my friend on couch surfing now? It builds your credibility. And I don't think you need to have 500, 600 friends or 500, 600 reviews, but it you want something there as opposed to like no friends, no reviews, this and that. And, you know, I think that's a great way is going to a meetup around you, you know, and that way you can get some reviews and stuff there before you actually then request a couch. If you can't do that, you know, request a couch and be as honest, open as you can.
Exactly. Let them know that you've just started and that you try to figure it out. And maybe they can also, maybe your host that you're writing to can also just help you out on how to be a couch surfer right away. That's how I started. When I wrote my first couch request, I had heard about stuff and I could like common sense wise understand it. But I did ask my host, I was like, hey, this is my first couch surfing experience. Is there anything I should know about? And he had some awesome tips. And we're still best friends, actually.
So. Very cool. Very cool. Another thing I think we should mention too is, you know, if you're going to a city or an area with more than one host, you know, the first person who shows up on the list is probably going to be someone who gets a lot of requests. You know, it definitely helps to send out multiple requests and try to make them personal so mm-hmm. that, you know, you're just casting a wider net. If you send out to one person and they say no, then you're stuck. If you send out to five people, you know, you have a better chance of someone saying yes.
Absolutely. And you can also look for ambassadors. We have couchsurfing ambassadors, which are mostly very active couchsurfers that are sometimes experienced or mostly more experienced than others and that have a good understanding of what couchsurfing is about and that are just like inspiring, amazing couchsurfers that live it and breathe it every day. So if you they have a little special icon on their profile. They have a little couchsurfer ambassador flag on their profile, so you'd see them by that orange flag that will pop up even in the search results. So for new people, new members who join, look out for those and maybe reach out to them and just ask those.
Yeah.
Most of them love to answer questions as well. They're really helpful. So
very cool. And you've mentioned a few of your awesome couchsurfing stories already. I'm sure you guys get a bunch rolling in every day, but what are some of the neatest ones you've heard? Like one or two that just really stick out in your mind is like, this is what it's all about.
I personally have three favorites amongst all of the stories that we do hear a ton of amazing stories every day. One is from a couch surfer that hosts in a Mongolian yurt, Yamsranyev Beksurin, I think is his name. He hosts in a very small yurt in Mongolia, in Ulaanbaatar, and he basically does it to offer a perspective or a new perspective to his kids. And just to like, because he loves sharing and learning from other people. So like he brings new perspectives into his home. And there's a ton of YouTube videos on that. You just go find it. He's an amazing person. That's super inspiring to me. Another one is Jenny, an American girl who's deaf, who despite her like disability to hear, just went couch surfing around the globe and had an amazing time. And she also put it in a video that is, it's like, it is really touching. And another story that I'm super into is a guy who built out a bus to basically run his bus down the west coast of South America. And as he went down, he picked up couch surfers along the way to join him on his journey. And it's just such a beautifully documented story. Also, find it on the internet. It's amazing.
Awesome. And yeah, I'll get those links from you and then we'll link them in the show notes so people can watch them.
Sure. But go for it.
Yeah, that's really, really cool. As I said, there's probably tons of things you get every day, but yeah, some really, really cool, inspiring stuff. And, you know, having done it myself a few times, both hosted and surfed, you know, every time you do it is completely different.
It's different.
And you don't know what to expect. And a lot of people are scared of that with travel. A lot of people want to go and, you know, I'm going to go to travel to Italy. I'm going to stay in a hotel. I'm going to do this, this, and this. And listen, any travel is better than no travel. But I do think there is a lot of things to learn from saying, I don't know what to expect. And that's going to make this experience so much richer.
That's for me also one of the reasons why I love, that's what I love about traveling, the unexpectedness. And I know that a lot of couch surfers that I would find through couch surfing are people that are the same way in that respect. They love spontaneity and they love unexpected stuff. They love to try new things. And that's the kind of people I personally want to have around me when I travel and when I explore, because they're like co-explorers and it's so fun to have around. So.
Yeah, and I can't speak enough to the idea of, even if you can't stay with someone, when you go to a city, finding a local person, they can meet and have coffee with you or lunch with you or whatever, and really, it's just a built-in network of someone to tell you the best places to go. So it's like a built-in human guidebook, really.
Absolutely, and you get a personal relationship with wherever you're going with a host. It's just going to be different because it's their favorite place to go. So it will actually make your travel so much richer by just having that human connection, not just the knowledge that they have, but also just like sharing your favorite place with something. There's so much magic in that for me, that's surprising and overwhelming every time I do it again.
Yeah. Yeah. And it's cool too, because couch surfing, you can do as much or as little as you want. I think that's another beauty of it is, you know, if you don't have a lot of people are afraid, okay, well, if I host someone, like, then they're going to come in and, you know, be in my house. I have to entertain them and this and that. And, you know, you can write your profile if you don't have a lot of time. Hey, I'm willing to meet someone for lunch on these days. I only have, you know, 45 minutes for lunch, but that, you know, or anything you want, but that would be such a rich experience. You know, let's say you work all day and you meet someone for lunch for 45 minutes and you show them around Philadelphia or Baltimore, Boston, wherever you live. You're going to go back to work being like, this is cool. Someone's going to go do that stuff. So you don't have to, it doesn't have to be this, oh, someone's going to stay in my house every day, or I'm going to stay in someone else's house every day. It's as little or as much as you want. And I think if people stick their foot in a little bit and just do a, if they're afraid or they don't know how much time they can devote, they do a little bit. And I think they're going to really
absolutely
figure it out.
Yeah. It's really important. You mentioned that people should put on their profile what their situation is like. And I think that's absolutely crucial. If you do have a lot of time to show people around, let them know, write it on your profile. If you're in a super busy period, just let them know, because maybe it will bring different people to your house, but that's okay. Like, there's absolutely no restriction on what you have to. You don't have to show them around 24/7. That's insane. But Sometimes you can, and then it's fun. It's just let them know so that they know, because they cannot read your mind.
Right, exactly. And yeah, you can update your profile as much as you want. We were talking earlier, like, now mm-hmm. you have a very active couchsurfing profile because you work there. But yeah, for me, I haven't kept up with my profile as much because I've just done a lot of it informally and what have you. But I think that's another thing too, is, you know, you don't have to go super invested in if you don't want, but there's no harm in setting up a profile, seeing what's out there. Sometimes I just go on and look at the other couch surfers offering their homes up in Philadelphia, because it's neat to see who around me is doing things.
Totally. Sometimes you just want to hang out with couch surfers. I, for example, most of the time have lived in shared community livings, where some of my roommates were not as comfortable with couch surfing as others, or like, we had a lot of visitors anyways, which still happens. So if that's the case and you can't host for that reason, then just go out and show them around. Like, find a couch surfer, show them around. That's how I'm couch surfing right now most of the time. When I'm traveling, I love surfing, absolutely.
Yeah.
But I've discovered hosting since I moved to San Francisco even more.
Very cool. And another thing I wanted to touch on, a lot of people probably think that this is for younger people, and it is for younger people as well, but there's a lot of people out there who have families or are older and couch surfing, either couch surfing themselves or sharing their homes. So what is the demographic of couch surfing, or is it really just across the board?
I mean, usually younger people are more in their time of their lives where they want to explore stuff, but that's absolutely not restricted to anything. We have grandparents hosting, we have families hosting, we have, as soon as you're 18 you can host, but if you're in a family and your parents can host, you're kind of a couch surfer as of 12 years old or whatever.
Right.
We've had a couple here from couch surfing that visited us at the head office a couple of weeks ago that are just they've just gave birth to their firstborn child, and they basically told us, well, This is going to be a really early on young couch surfer, which is the cutest thing I've ever heard.
That's really cool. And we mentioned at the beginning of the show, you're an avid traveler, obviously.
Yeah, I love it.
What is it about travel that is so important to you? Like, you have obviously made it a main pillar of your life. You work in the travel industry. You travel whenever you get the chance, as do I. Why do you continue to travel? Why is it so important?
I've thought a lot about that question in my life, and I still don't have one perfect answer. I love the fact that I can go exploring. I love languages. I love different ways of life. I love how traveling opens you up to so many new perspectives. You can see the world through like somebody else's eyes, which to me is amazing. I come from a super small town. On the side, we were like 64 people. It gives you an insight into different lifestyles, and also it's just so real. Like when you're traveling, you're there, you're in it, and if something happens, you got to respond to it quickly. And I find that super fascinating. There's absolutely no plan structure to it. You can try, it's not going to work.
Yeah.
So, I love that realness of it.
Yeah, and I think too, your senses are like on overload. Anytime you go to a new place, right?
When
I can pull out of my driveway here in Philadelphia and not even think about where I'm driving because I do it naturally, and I get to my destination somehow. It's like I'm sleepwalking, and it's awesome when I go traveling and I just set foot somewhere and I don't know what's going to happen. And you take in the sights and the smells and the people, and you know, everything is so fresh. I just love that.
And one other thing that I love about it, I love the smell and the freshness of it too. But when you get to a new place and you have this feeling of like you get into a city and you're being lost, you're like super lost. I love that. You see a city, you have no idea what's happening. You don't get a culture. You have no clue of what's going to happen. When you leave the city a couple of days later, even if it's just a bunch of days, you'll feel kind of like you've made it part of yourself a little bit. And you've had that insight and you feel connected to it in a certain way. And the fact that could change in like 3 days, you go to a strange place, you come out and you feel connected to it. I think that's an amazing feeling.
I agree 100% with that. The first time I there's a few cities I felt that way about, most of them, but few in specific that I remember. One is Chiang Mai in Thailand. We just arrived. We didn't know anything. And in 3 days I was like, this feels like home. Like I can navigate. Yeah. I can hop on a scooter, go where I want. I've already found like my favorite place to eat. I've already found the lady that I want to buy like a whole chicken from, you know?
Awesome.
And yeah. And it's like, when you leave, you're like, there's no way that was 3 days. Like to me, that feels
like a lifetime.
Yeah. Yeah. And it's
absolutely,
I think that's an awesome way of putting it, the way you put it. San Francisco felt that way for me when I went there the first time it was 3 days and you know, but you're out there doing stuff at all times, so that 3 days really might be like you're doing the same amount of stuff you do in a week or 2 weeks at home, because you're just like, well, I got to go see this, I got to go do that. And you're not kind of sitting around watching TV on your computer or something, or at least I hope not.
True.
And so we've talked about couchsurfing here. I think a lot of people turn to couchsurfing because they want that really authentic travel experience, and you know, and also because they're on a budget, and we've talked about it's not a way to really freeload, but it is a way to get accommodations. If you don't want to spend a lot of money, you don't want to spend $100 at a hotel or anything like that, you know, you can travel without blowing through a massive budget. And that's what we do at Extra Pack of Peanuts. You know, we're all about traveling more while spending less so that you can continue to travel and continue to travel, right? So what are some – you've traveled a lot. What are some of your best tips for saving money when you're traveling?
So one good thing that – I'm not even sure if I like it, but I usually bought my plane ticket back because I was always afraid that I would never come back if I didn't and I wouldn't have the money for it. So I did that. That's not saving though. The actual saving comes in where I just usually carried on as long as I could. One insane cheap way of traveling for me is you can split noodle soup into noodles and soup separately.
Oh, there you go.
But that's if you're desperate.
Right.
And it has happened. I have done that when I was like 18, traveling with a best friend, just running out of money.
Yeah.
Well, we had noodles and soup, worked. Like it's still the best time I've ever experienced. So I would still do it again.
I think that's important too. You have to figure out where you know, what you value when you're traveling. And some, for some people, you know, we've had people on the show who's like, I would spend $100 on a meal, but I would stay at a, you know, a low level hostel as opposed to a mm-hmm. hotel. And for them, food is the most important thing. And, you know, other people, it's, you know, just maybe they want to take a specific train ride, like going up to the top of a mountain that might cost 40 mm-hmm. bucks, or going to a park that's expensive or something like that. But,
I mean, when traveling, I guess you can always save money on transportation. And I also love exploring cities or places, nature by foot. It is the cheapest way to travel. So if you're on foot, you're definitely saving some time and some money. And you have a lot of extra insights because you get to places where nobody gets to. So like that's one of the ways that I love having more time and less money rather than the other way around. Another thing on how to save money is, like, most of the tourist things cost a lot of money, but that's not actually where I get something out of travel for myself. So the more local you go with whatever you do, the cheaper it is usually going to be. Plus, it's also more awesome, in right. my opinion. But.
And that feeds right into couch surfing, because it's hard to be a tourist, because we're all tourists when we're going somewhere, and find mm-hmm. all the local stuff, because that's why locals know it, because they've lived there and we haven't.
They will know. They mostly know.
Yeah.
All of it.
And when you go couch surfing, all of a sudden, it might be your first day there, but you have, you know, 25 years worth of experience from your local host, and they tell you, oh, don't go to that place. That's going to charge you 10 bucks for a meal. Go here. It's $3 and it's 100 times better.
It's also better. Yeah. And it will be better. I always trust locals more than probably I should, but you know, it's always worked out. It is, as long as you stay, have your wits together and like think about stuff, you're always going to be better off talking to locals.
For sure. And in my mind, my wife always makes fun of me for this, but a recommendation to me instantly makes it better. Like, even if it's maybe yeah. not really better, in my mind it is, because someone's like, well, you have to find this, and you go around that corner, and you go around this corner.
You're on a quest. And quests are awesome.
Yeah, yeah. You find it and you're like, all right, this is going to be the best. And even if it's not, it's still pretty cool.
And I found it kind of like you've sort of achieved something. I guess that's what traveling is about. You like explore stuff, you put yourself in small quests, and sometimes finding food is the biggest quest of the day, but that's completely okay.
Yeah, 100% agree. So what are a few of the places that you've visited then? And there's probably a lot, as I have a hard time answering this as well, because there's a lot of places I love. But what are some of your favorite places? And then are there any places that you went to that were a little underwhelming? Like you just had high hopes and maybe it didn't work out as well as you thought.
So my favorite places very generally are fireplaces. Okay. I know that's not answering your question, but it is true.
Well, it is a place. Yeah, yeah.
And volcanoes. But apart from that, in terms of countries, I really love New Zealand a lot. That was probably tied into it being like one of the first trips that I did. And it was one of the longest for a couple of months. I also love Nepal and Tibet. I visited a friend in Tibet a couple of years ago. And just like traveling through China, through Tibet to Nepal was such an interesting culture shift at each border. And I was like lost in three languages, which just like, it makes it so much more interesting and harder to travel, but also more like challenging and fun when you don't understand people and you have to find a way around them. Hand language, sign language does not always work, but I had a great time like traveling solo through those three countries or places. I also loved exploring Eastern Europe because it is less touristy. I love Southeast Asia. It's really hard. I loved Borneo. Yeah, well, that's the question I can't answer. It's just I kind of loved all the trips for different reasons.
Yeah, I like that you were.
I didn't know it was that hard.
I like that you were lost in three languages, though. That's how I felt when I lived in Switzerland. It's like, I can't speak French, German, or Italian, or Romance. So I mean, really, actually lost in four languages.
Yeah. But the funny thing is that it always works. Like, no matter how, even if you don't actually understand a single word or a sign that somebody makes, you still have that human understanding between people and you. And it will work out. I have no idea how it works, but it works. It's fascinating.
One of the guests that was on one of the earlier shows, Colin Wright from XL Lifestyle, he put this awesomely, and I love bringing it up. Oh. He said, it's great to be the idiot abroad. And
yes. Yes. Oh, thank you.
Yeah.
Say hi.
Not that you're an idiot, but
No, that's great. I agree.
He said it, and I was like, you know what? Like, you just put into three words exactly what I feel when I get somewhere and
yes.
why it's so great, because people are going to help you because you don't know what you're doing, and it brings out the best in people because they're, you know, they see someone who's not in duress but who needs help, and they help them, and, you know, they probably wouldn't help someone who looked like they had it more together, I guess.
Mm-hmm. Totally. Yeah, that's how I felt in China, for sure. Absolutely. It just strips you down to, like, a bare human being, and you will need help. Like, you can survive without help, but it's really hard.
Yeah.
And with the help of people, it's just so much more fun. It's more real. And you see how you actually see the best in the place that you visit, because you see people when they're real people. Like, I love that statement that you made.
Yeah, and it always is the people and the experiences you have more than the places that you're in. I mean, I loved seeing the Eiffel Tower. Like, it's great to go and see these monuments and parks and all, but it the things that I know I remember, and maybe you do too, are those little people, like, that you mentioned, the lady in Borneo who showed you into her house and stuff. Yeah.
Monuments are great. I mean, I wasn't a Chinese wall, but seriously, that's not the thing that stuck in my mind. That's not what I think about, or that's not in my heart when I think about that trip. It's the lady who sold me the tomatoes on a corner of Lhasa, on the street corner, that had that extra smile for me every time I passed by. That is the person that I remember the most of that trip. So it isn't about the monuments. I mean, monuments are beautiful, but
sure,
that's not why I travel.
Right, right. That's awesome. And yeah, I think your travel ethos is so in line with what we do here. And kind of, again, I believe that any travel is better than no travel, but I think there are ways that people maybe should get out of their comfort zone and travel. And if they're scared to do it, just, you know, take little steps. And like we say, couch surfing is one of them. And definitely one of the things that I recommend to people that I get a lot of feedback from, not that they're like, they think it's a bad idea. They just aren't going to do it. And I think you probably understand that, having worked there. It's one of probably your goals is to spread the word of how it is safe and what people do to make it safe. So,
it is as safe as you make it. It is literally, it's not any, it is the world out there. You're like putting yourself in the world out there. So use your brains, use your gut, and use your common sense when it comes to safety. Be responsible. I guess that's all you can actually give as a tip.
Yeah, and I think that if people are listening and they think, well, like, oh, you know, Martina, you're crazy, or Travis, we know you're crazy because we listen to your podcast. You know,
I get that a lot, actually, yeah.
I mean, that's fine, and they're probably right, but I have been, like, nervous different times I've couch surfed, and I think that's normal. You're meeting someone you don't know. And so
that is good.
Yeah, it's not like we're sitting here saying, like, oh, every time I just walk into a home and I feel like I should kick my shoes off and it's the most comfortable thing in the world, but... You know, there was a time we couch surfed in Bath in the UK, and, you know, I couldn't get a hold of a guy, and we ended up coming to his place a lot later than expected, and his name was Ghost, which I think was his real name. So that was a little weird, and, you know, but I got there, and he was super nice, and he was getting ready to go to bed, and his wife had just had a baby. They were getting ready to go to bed, so he's like, here's the room. And, you know, we didn't even have that much interaction because that was fine. They're getting ready to go to bed. I woke up the next morning, said thanks, and left. So it wasn't like this amazing couch surfing experience, but it was the idea that I was nervous doing it, and it turned out okay. And, you know, I wouldn't put myself in harm's way, but it's not always going to be perfect. You're not always going to feel comfortable, even if you are someone who maybe wants to do it more than someone else. So
I actually think being nervous is a good thing, though. It's like when you go to a job interview and you're nervous about something, that means you care about something and your senses are on. So I guess being nervous before you enter a stranger's home is a very, very smart thing to do. Just, like, listen to that response and react when you don't feel safe, get out.
Yeah.
And if not, then your senses were right.
Yeah. And couch surfing has done a wonderful job providing the framework for everything we're talking about. Like, you do have to be aware, you do have to be in tune, but couchsurfing has done a phenomenal job at taking something that is scary, that is maybe a little crazy or fearful, and turning it into something that actually you can do and have an amazing experience. So, you know, if you guys haven't checked out couchsurfing, or you're not a member, go in, create a profile, check it out, see all the safeguards they have there, and, you know, just play around with it. And I think you're going to find that it's a lot more accessible and easy to do and not as scary as you think. Is there anything new that couchsurfing has coming up that people should be looking out for? You know, kind of where do you see couchsurfing heading in the future?
I think in terms of what couchsurfing will be in the future, it will absolutely still be an amazing community, because that's what it's built upon. And that's what people do all the time. The magic is completely out there at all times. Like, the stories we hear every day are insanely cool. It will, from the headquarters perspective on that, we're working on a bunch of product features that are coming up. We're working on the website stability, which is absolutely one of our priorities right now. We're working towards being more accessible when you're on the road, basically being on your mobile phone so that you have access, because right now, there is a lot of room for improvement. And we're constantly working on making the website more clear for new members. We've started having some onboarding for new members that basically guides you through how to, the basically things we talked about before, filling up your profile, putting up your picture, reading about your safety, reading about what couchsurfing is all about. So we're making this more visible to new members so that they actually get more education on what it is about and don't get like thrown into cold water and don't know what to do. Those are some of the initiatives that we're running right now.
And one of the cool things I just saw too, I don't know how long you've been running this, I think a few months, was the on the road or into the wild. Why don't you explain that real quick? Because this was a cool idea of people actually living what they preach, really.
So right now, that's basically, we got these complaints about a couple of months ago in March, February. We got a lot of complaints on being disconnected with the community, and we address that by having a staff program where we have each of our staff members internally gets to couch surf for a couple of days in whatever location our members want us to be. We give them access to like request a staff member. Sometimes we just send them to places where people haven't been, where we don't have an understanding of the community, and couch surf with members in that community. They're highly active. I myself surfed with one ambassador in Mexico City and had the best time of my life. It was super inspiring. There's a blog post up there too. I'll send that over. But it's right now we're having somebody. We just recently had our product manager Thomas come back from New York, and we'll have one of our mobile leads going out to Kenya tomorrow or next weekish. And it is so much better to be able to use your products on the road and at the same time get feedback from the community. From humans, from couch surfers who have their issues with the website. And there's a lot of issues you can have with the website. So it's good to have everybody in here also be connected with the outside world, because we have a lot of visitors at the headquarters. We have a lot of couch surfers visiting from all over the place. But it's not the same when you're not out there.
Right. So more or less, you have a member of the couch surfing staff from the headquarters or whatever go out and couch surf pretty much all the time. Like, it's not the same person, but
it's like every third week.
Yeah. Very
Absolutely.
Cool. I just thought that was neat, because it is a thing of saying like, okay, we're behind this. We support it 100% and we're actually going to go and do it. And here's our story.
And every member that has been out from staff has come back with a lot of like their own insights, sometimes for their area of work, sometimes just that, like, you just get that spark back.
Yeah.
You're like, you feel that magic again. You're like, oh wait, yeah, that's exactly what I'm doing. You know, like, you understand it more again.
That's awesome. Martina, thanks so much for coming to the show. You and the rest of the crew over there at Couchsurfing, you're doing an absolutely phenomenal job at really helping people all over the world in every country have wonderful, unique travel experiences. So we all thank you for that.
Thank you, guys.
And
you're the community.
Before I let you go, just remind people where they can go if they're interested in starting to couchsurf and what steps they kind of need to take to become a member of the couchsurfing community.
Just go to couchsurfing.org or .com. And like, when you sign up, you'll get all the information. Basically, that you'll get told what to do as soon as you sign up, like why you sign up. And then just check it out on the About Us page. That's maybe where you want to start out. couchsurfing.org/aboutus.
Great. Thank you so much, Martina. Once again, thanks so much for coming on. If you're ever coming through Philadelphia, you know you've got a couch. I actually have an extra bed, so you've got a bed here.
No way.
Yeah.
Cool. I have a couch, not an extra bed, but I can make it happen.
Hey, so next time I'm out in San Fran, we'll have to get together. Thanks so much, Martina.
Thank you. Bye.